You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
You're on riverboat gambling trips.
You're gonna die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Thursday, June 1st, 2023. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner. DMs are always open for you. And smash the button so you get this mother clucker once it goes live. We will talk to Alex Smith, Ice Guys, Hammer HQ. It's a tricky Stanley Cup final price on Vegas, Florida. Alex shares his favorite way to bet the series and which team will hoist Lord Stanley. We have to start with one thing and one thing only. The bartender. Out of nowhere with an NBA bet on Saturday. Holy cow. Celtics minus three. Got that text, almost fell over. I don't recall him ever betting an NBA game before, or at least sending me an NBA bet for that matter. Obviously, he loves the NFL. He's very bad at it. Had some college plays this year. Killed Purdue, killed Alabama. But this was the first NBA game that I can ever remember from the bartender. Sends me the text, Celtics minus three. Immediately, the line moved to minus 2.5 because, of course, it did. We all watched it, Game 6 on Saturday. Boston up 9 points with 3:04 to go. We all watched the meltdown. The foul by Al Horford on Jimmy Butler shooting a three. If there's no foul there, maybe it's a brick. Boston gets the board, free throw, free throw. The Derek White tip at the end, all of that stuff. Just incredible. After a 16-24 football season, followed by that 2-4 college basketball stretch, plus the losing Celtics bet, our guy, the bartender, is now 51-75 all time. 40%. I've said it a million times. Keep this man alive at all costs. Quickly, if you appreciate the bartender, and you appreciate bets like the Miami Heat at 9-1 to win the Eastern Conference, and you appreciate this show and the conversations we have, the guests we put on, do me a solid. Go review Chicken Dinner on Apple Podcasts. I almost never ask for reviews, but if you appreciate this show, I would appreciate a quick review. You rate it, maybe leave a quick comment, boom, done. It would mean the world to me. Thank you. Thank you. As for the Heat, 9-1 to win the East, cash it. Add it to the list. We've had a pretty good run over the last few years. Heat 9-1, Sabalenka plus 750 to win the Australian Open, Braves 14-1 World Series, Kansas 20-1 National Championship, the free roll in one of the college football national title games with Alabama and Georgia, the free roll on Gonzaga and Baylor in the NCAA tournament, pre-flop 7-8-1. Even the ones that got away have been fun sweats. The Mac Jones 10-1 offensive rookie of the year. He was minus 300 at like the week 12 mark and eventually lost to Jamar Chase. Julio Rodriguez 11-1 to win the home run derby. Didn't he hit like 30 in one round? Went to the final, lost to Juan Soto. And then recently, Texas to win the national championship and make the Final Four. 16-1 and 5-1. Ugh, that one still stings. Still stings. But we've had a pretty good run with futures here, and now we have another one, which we'll talk about in a second. Also, how's this for a stat? I saw this on CBS Sports. Pat Riley is heading to his 19th NBA Finals as a player, assistant, coach, or executive. That is 25% of all finals in the history of the league. Wild. Did you add it yet? Florida College World Series sent plus 950. We talked about this last week. Vegas Rick has been hot on this team, and I've sort of done my research too, talked to a couple guys that bet college baseball well, and the consensus is insane lineup, three legit starters, and a bullpen that delivers. And the good thing about these teams like Florida, they have the regional at home and then the super regional at home. So basically, if you take care of business, you get to Omaha, and then at that point, you see what happens. But if Florida gets to Omaha, forget plus 950, 9-1, and I shared all the outs here. How about the discrepancy at these books? I put together a list and tweeted it out at Chicken X Dinner. FanDuel plus 950, DraftKings 9-1, Caesars 8-1, MGM 8, WinBet 8, Superbook 8, Circa 750, PointsBet 750. So again, you need to have multiple outs. Always be shopping, per usual. Why bet 750 when you could bet 950? They are from the best conference in college baseball, the SEC. And a lot of people like LSU. Maybe you like Vanderbilt, Kentucky. I like Florida based on what I've heard from guys like Rick. And again, guys who do this very well and bet this stuff every day. Like Ricky is firing college baseball totals. He will be loading up on Friday and Saturday, just pounding these totals. And the good thing about a guy like Ricky is that he moves these totals sometimes a run. He'll bet over 13. It'll close 13 and a half, maybe even 14. Because those markets don't really have a lot of two-way action, at least at big numbers. You always get your big bets on NBA playoff games, right? And Action Network will tweet about the $100,000 bet on the Heat. Well, that doesn't really happen in college baseball. You got good accounts that hit these games and these lines fly. So those guys like Florida. And again, are they going to win the whole thing? I don't know. But from what I'm being told, Florida should not be 9-1, 950 to win the College World Series. And again, that starts tomorrow. You can bet that all the way through. But as you know, once Florida wins the regional this weekend, assuming they do and move on, that 950 becomes 725. So you have to get ahead. And Florida had bigger numbers a month or two ago, but not that much bigger. I mean, Florida's been one of the best teams of the country all year. It's not like Florida was ever 40 or 50 to 1. Like Wake Forest, for example. Wake Forest, the favorite right now. And then depending on where you shop, it's either LSU or Florida. So that's what we're doing here on June 1st, right before the College World Series begins, or the college baseball tournament begins. We're going to pop the Florida Gators. I wrote about this for Fox. It's a finals preview, if you will. Nuggets and Heat, just as we all expected to meet in the NBA Finals, which begins tonight. A Nuggets-Heat exacta box was being offered across Las Vegas as high as 250-1 before the postseason started. $100 bet would have made you $25,000. Holy cow. And that's mostly because the betting market couldn't really envision a deep Heat run through not only the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round, the Philadelphia 76ers in the second round, and the Boston Celtics in the third round. And others didn't really believe in Denver. I mean, for all the talk about Denver, there was equal talk on Phoenix and Golden State. Maybe the Lakers were going to make a push. So it was a pretty improbable finals matchup. Again, 250-1 on Nuggets and Heat. So you look at this, and I have the series price up, and some shops are as high as minus 450, minus 460 on Denver, which I'm not laying. I think Denver wins the series, but I don't really have an edge. And that's the funniest part about my life, is that I will share a bet like Miami that pays out pretty well, and then the instant follow-up after the let's fucking go or the hell yeah is who do we like in the finals? And I'll be like, I don't really like anything. Come on, who do you like in the finals? No, I don't think I have an edge. There's a player that I want to discuss, and there's a MVP bet that I think might have a smidge of value, but I don't really love this final. I don't love the big spreads. I'm not really in love with laying 9 in game 1, but I don't really want to take 9 either. And it's okay. You don't need to bet every game on the board. You don't have to bet every marquee game. In fact, these are the tightest lines. These are the tightest lines, the playoff games. NFL playoffs, NBA playoffs, championship rounds. These are the tightest numbers. I don't have a series play for you. And I'm not going to pick Denver in five because Denver might win in six. Or I'm not going to pick Denver in six because Denver might win in seven. Ain't happening. Not going to do a thing with that series price. How about this, too? There's only one number I need to give you to explain how insane Nikola Jokic is playing right now. He is minus a quarter to average a triple-double in the finals. He is favored to do something that only one player has ever done before. That was LeBron in 2017, 34-12-10. Cavaliers lost to the Warriors in five games, 2017. That's when they had Durant. And again, Jokic is favored to pull this off, the triple-double. It's insanity. I think Heat big man Bam Adebayo is going to have a pretty big series scoring the ball. I went back, watched some of the film, last four meetings against Jokic. He was really taking it to Jokic. And if you look at his career against Jokic, he's averaging just under 14 points per game. But I don't really care what he did in 2019 and 2020. I'm more concerned about the evolution of Bam and how he's evolved as a player. And in the last four meetings, again, not big sample size, but you see the opportunities there. Last four meetings against the Joker, Bam has taken 10, 19, 14, and 14 shots. And I know Bam struggled on offense down the stretch in the Eastern Conference Finals, but think about the matchup that Bam was facing. The ever-athletic, the long wingspan defense of Robert Williams, whose only goal, by the way, is to stop Bam. Maybe catch the occasional lob and flush it. But Robert Williams is out there to negate what you do on offense. I envision a world for Adebayo where life is a little bit easier against Jokic, who, by all accounts, is defensively efficient. Let's give him that. But he's far from a game changer on that side of the ball. In fact, Jokic doesn't even jump for rebounds. B talked about this last week. And what is the focal point in Jokic's game? Directing that awesome Nuggets offense. Jokic isn't playing at 110% on both sides of the ball. He's just not. He just can't. He's too big, and he's going to lose his wind. So he conserves, and he needs to be fresh in that fourth quarter. But go back and watch some of those fourth quarters against the Lakers where this guy looks like he needs an oxygen tank. So you have to imagine that Eric Spoelstra is going to try and tire Jokic out over the course of the series. And that starts with trying to unleash Bam on the offensive end. Attack, attack, attack. Pick and roll, screen and roll, get Bam out on the elbow, have Jokic come out and jump out, have to defend him. Bam stick a couple of jumpers, and then everything opens up. But I think this will be a good series for Bam. And the good thing about him being not great down the stretch in the Eastern Conference Finals is that that point prop has slowly crawled down. Bam came out game one, game two against the Celtics, scored 20 and 22. And we started to see his prop about 19 and a half. Well, look at the board right now. I got the prop shop up on Bam Adebayo. You can go over 16 and a half tonight at minus 105, minus 105, minus 106, minus 110, minus 111, minus 114. If Bam comes out, and I repeat, here are the shot numbers against Jokic last four meetings, 10, 19, 14, 14. If he takes 14 shots and makes seven of them, that's 14 points. And he's a pretty efficient shooter. He's not taking threes like Al Horford. I'm over 16 and a half in the opener. And then if Bam scores 18 or 20, I might look again over 17 and a half in game two. And then if it gets to 18 and a half, 19 and a half, I'll probably stay away because then the books will catch up as they always do. But the matchup, the opportunity, combined with the lower number has me excited for Bam's over, at least in game one, and we'll see what happens in game two. The other bet that's a little intriguing is Jamal Murray to win finals MVP. If you like Denver, and I know a lot of sharp people that do, you probably think that the two-man game is going to work, Jokic and Murray. And Jokic is a substantial favorite for all the right reasons. We've talked about several of them so far. But it doesn't feel right to look down the sheet and see Jokic at minus 350 and Murray at like 14-1. Obviously, Jokic is going to get his flowers and the mathematical respect from the bookmakers because of his all-around play, his dominance. But this isn't the Conn Smythe Trophy. It's not what you've done all playoffs. It's what you do in the finals. It's how Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP the year that Golden State beat Cleveland. Well, one of the years, I guess I should say, because that matchup happened for what felt like every year for several years. Jokic is going to get his stats. But if Murray averages over 30 points per game, like he did against the Lakers, maybe sprinkle in a 40-piece or two, the MVP is a legit conversation should Denver win the NBA championship. So, look, this is not an official play or whatever, but if you're looking for, you know, a little bit of a flyer, I don't hate Jamal Murray at 14-1. Don't think that's a bad pop. Let's see. What would you do here? A bettor at Circa dropped a $100 three-leg parlay many months ago. Here are the three legs. Argentina to win the World Cup, plus 615. Cha-ching! Nuggets to win the Western Conference, plus 850. Cha-ching! Golden Knights to win Stanley Cup, 10-1. This bettor dropped a Benjamin Franklin, $100 to win $74,611. Right? What do you do? Now, I just came off an episode where I said I didn't think my Heat bet was life-changing money, and it wasn't. I'm happy about it, but it didn't change my life. $74,000 would change my life. And I don't want to speculate here, but I imagine somebody who makes a $100 parlay is going to have his or her life changed by $74,617. So what do you do? I was talking with a couple people at Nesson yesterday. One buddy said, I would ride it. I'm like, would you though? Really? I mean, how do you not leave with at least $10,000 here? If you bet $100, you have to leave with something, I would think. Unless this person is a multimillionaire and $74,000 doesn't matter. If you wipe your ass with $74,000, it doesn't matter. But if you're betting $100 to win $74,000, I think this is meaningful money. So what I would do is I would find $10,000 or $20,000 and just bet the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup at plus 110, and that's it. Then you win $11,000 or $22,000 minus the $100, and you are set. I could not live with myself if I walked away with nothing. Yeah, it would be awesome to win $74,000, but it would also be awesome to win $64,000 or walk away with at least $10,000 and change on your $100 bet. I mean, these figures are just absurd. You know, if you're betting, you know, $50,000 a game like some people are, you might not hedge this. But again, without knowing the bettor, it's hard to know for sure, but I have a 90% chance that this person is not a whale of a bettor, not firing five-figure bets on the reg. If you bet $100 to win $74,000. So that's what you have to do, right? Some people would say hedging is for gardeners. Not when you're talking about nothing or $74,000. You chop a little branch off the tree, and if the big tree doesn't come through, you still have that little branch. I find it funny that last week I'm like, oh, I'm not going to hedge this Heat bet. But again, it wasn't $100 to win $74,000. If that was my bet, you bet your ass, I'm betting five figures on the Panthers. And the good thing about the Panthers is you get them as a dog. You're hedging at plus money. You're not having to lay $2, $3. Like, if I wanted to hedge Boston Celtics in game seven, I would have had to have laid, you know, $3 on the money line. And that sucks. That's why I didn't do it. But this is a good spot because you have the favorite to win it. So it's an easy hedge on the dog. Two more quick things. Illinois cracked $1 billion in handle. Good for them. That is a state record by far. I have this email here. The Illinois Gaming Board reported on Thursday a state record traditional sports wagering handle of $1.07 billion for the month of March, continuing an incremental improvement since Illinois' first $1 billion handle last fall. Oh, so I was mistaken. It was not the first time. It was the second time. But again, this is proof that sports betting is up and to the right. And Massachusetts, I can't wait to see these numbers when we get into September, October, November, and you have college football on Saturdays and the NFL on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays. Not to mention the NBA and the college basketball and the hockey, baseball playoffs. I think at one point Massachusetts is going to get close to the billion. Not routinely, not month to month, but there has to be a time in the Commonwealth where all of these people that love getting down, and I am out and about and people are fucking gambling. They are. I imagine maybe October. October feels good. Let's go October for $1 billion in mess. And then obviously you think about New York. In March, New York took $1.79 billion. Illinois, $1.07 billion. So it was a state record for Illinois, but not the first time they got to a billion. New York, Illinois, then New Jersey, $1.03 billion. Nevada, $830.5 million. And then Ohio, $738.6 million. And as I always say, the three biggest fish, or three of the biggest fish, have not even joined the pond yet. California, Florida, and Texas. But I do think eventually Massachusetts is going to crack that $1 billion number. And the last thing before we get to Alex Smith, FanDuel has a new offer in Massachusetts and it is speaking to me. I don't have a FanDuel account in my name. FanDuel is offering a first-time risk-free bet at $2,500. That's the second biggest deal I can remember in this country. William Hill and Caesars was offering $5,000 risk-free in Colorado a couple years ago. But I haven't seen $2,500, I don't think, ever. I remember when Caesars came into Illinois in 2020. Caesars was offering $2,000 risk-free. $2,500 is a lot. And let me tell you, because we do these FanDuel parlays on Red Sox and Bruins pregame shows, the offers that have been floating around in the past, risk-free bet, $200. Risk-free bet, $150. Risk-free bet, $100. $2,500? That almost feels like a typo, but it's not. And I'm telling you, say what you want about FanDuel. That is a big pop that you get back in bonus bets if you lose. I don't sponsor FanDuel. I don't work for FanDuel. But I've done this now at multiple sports books. I made the drive to Springfield. They gave me a $1,000 free bet. Bam. Took the Caesars offer, $1,250. Bam. Barstool has an offer of $1,000. Haven't done that yet. I'm going to eventually get down to Plain Ridge and make that happen, probably before football season. And now this FanDuel one at $2,500. I mean, how do you not do that? That's free money, boys and girls. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking about, as sick as I am, I'm thinking about plopping it in tomorrow and betting on Florida at plus 950. To which I had a buddy tell me, you really think they're going to take $2,500 at 950? Probably not, but it's worth a shot. And if they don't take it, which they probably won't, I will find something else. I want to hit a future because that's how I've exploited these numbers over the years. I remember doing it in Illinois. I had friends saying, like, hey, I got a $100 risk-free bet, like, first bet. What do I do? You like the Celtics tonight? I'm like, no, bet something to happen that's a longer shot. Bet this guy to win the MVP. I mean, the Heat thing was the perfect storm. I thought that was a great number, and it was a short turnaround because I didn't have to wait for 5 or 6 months. So maybe I bet LSU to win the College World Series if they take that, or Wake, or whatever. I mean, the point is, whatever I bet, I get it back. I get it back in bonus bets. I won't get the whole chunk back, but I'll get $2,500 in bonus bets. Look, that's something you just have to consider if you bet on sports. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner as we prepare for the Stanley Cup Final. You know who's on this program when it comes to the Stanley Cup Final. It's Alex Smith at AX Smith Sports. Ice Guys, Hammer, Edgework, AXSmithSports.com. But we know him as a friend, a loyal listener, a tequila drinker, and a guy who's made us money in this thing for years now. I want to start, though, with Tuesday morning. Who was more hungover, me or you? Make the price.
Oh, I'm guessing you would be hungover. Yeah, you'd probably be more hungover. Put you at minus 160, 170. It'd be fairly close. I was pretty messed up.
I think that's a little high because I'll tell you what, man. After the last couple future hits, like, I know what to do the next morning now. Yeah, I pound three bottles of water. I eat about a pound of fruit, and I'm good to go. I made it to work.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Applesauce is always my trick, going back even to my college days. Applesauce, some saltines, you know, it kind of soaks everything up. So I like your style there with the fruit and the water. A little Gatorade would help you there every now and then, the electrolyte replenishment. So, you know, you got to have a game plan with that.
I haven't tried the applesauce. I'm intrigued by that. But the one thing that I tell people, most of them get disgusted at, I do the pickle juice the next morning. Now, people can't do pickles, but there's a jar in my fridge that has pickle juice. And you talk about electrolytes, that is the move. If you can handle pickles, that is the move. If you don't like pickles, it's a little chicken broth. We're getting into hangovers here on Chicken Dinner.
Right.
But that's how you attack the next day after a big win. Pickle juice or chicken broth. Or apparently applesauce.
And if you struggle with taking shots of tequila or you're drinking some really bad cheap tequila, which you should never do, life's too short for that. But if you are, using pickle juice as a chaser, that's also really good too.
Oh, baby. We could do 20 minutes on this, but I will pivot to the Stanley Cup Final. It's Vegas. It's Florida. Let's start with this. I look at this price and I'm fascinated because – if you would have told me before the postseason that Vegas would be playing Florida, I would have said, first of all, you're crazy. Second of all, I would have thought that series price would have been about $1.60. Now, you have to bake in not only the respect for the Panthers, but the fact that they've knocked off Boston, Toronto, and Carolina, a murderer's fucking row in the East. But it feels, Alex, like an overcorrection. Like the books are finally like, okay, we respect them, but we respect them a little too much now. What do you make of this price? I can lay $1.30 on Vegas. Florida comes back $1.10.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We were talking about it a little bit before, you know, where with Vegas, and this is definitely where you're seeing the expansion of betting in the country kind of change things because – you couldn't just go out and make Vegas a dog or even, you know, drop them to a true pick 'em line because you'd have every Golden Knight fan that lives in Nevada or anywhere close to a book hammering that and moving that number forward. And I think that's kind of where the reason why we're seeing this line where it opened minus 125, 130. And we're just seeing, you know, money come in on Vegas. You know, people are respecting Vegas. And obviously, like I said, you know, with the season they had a stronger regular season than Florida. You know, it's the team that has just seemingly gotten better and better as things gone on, where Florida, they said this, you know, Cinderella story, you got money coming in on them because people are just intrigued by the Cinderella story, right? I mean, it's the same thing that's happened in the NBA. You see people, you know, on Miami, you know, everybody gets wrapped up into that storyline. And so they're betting that way as well. So I think this is a fair price. You know, as far as if we would just go obviously just off of straight talent and body of work throughout the entire year, you're right. Vegas should probably be around minus 160, 165, but there's a reason for this number being a little bit tighter, a little bit closer. And I think it's, you know, they're going to draw action both ways in this series.
Yeah. The Vegas element is crazy. It's not like it was when I first moved there to work at VSiN when the Knights opened up, I think it was Stations or Boyd opened up Vegas at 500-1 to win the Stanley Cup. And then South Point opened 300, Golden Nugget opened 300. All these books were just opening at absurd prices. And Vegas goes all the way to the Stanley Cup final. And I know for a fact, several sports books were going to lose six, if not seven figures.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't 500 or 300-1 coming into this season. I mean, Vegas was 10, 15, 20-1 in that window, if I can remember correctly. But Vegas still doesn't want the Knights to win the Cup. I don't think anybody would admit that. I think in a perfect world, the sports books in Vegas want this to go six or seven, but probably want Florida to win for the house. Am I accurate there?
Yeah, because I can't imagine that there were a lot of people who took shots on Florida to win the Cup, especially if you're talking about February and March when this team looked like they would even make the playoffs. And then once they get in, you know, virtually the last 3 days of the season, now all of a sudden they got to go up against, at that time, was we were calling the best team in NHL history, the Boston Bruins. So, you know, I'm sure there's some liabilities floating around here or there, but it's just a few tickets compared to how much liability they'd have. With just Vegas fans that's jumping in, even grabbing them at 10-1 or 15-1.
You think this is a tight series, right? So what do we do with that? How can we profit off of what you believe to be a very tight series with close games?
Well, we can use the draw to our feature, the regulation draw, which has been cashing a lot with Florida. We've been seeing, it seems like every other Florida game was going to overtime those last couple of series. Almost had overtime. Going into that game four, and then Florida got the goal with what, 3 seconds left and ended up wrapping up the conference title. So this is definitely one of the ways I'm going to be looking at it, jumping in. I like game one to go to overtime. I grabbed that at plus 320 earlier this morning. I was looking at BetMGM where you can get plus 800 on three of the games to go overtime in this series. And I think, like I said, in a 6-7 game series, which I do think this goes at least six games, if not a full seven, we will definitely see some overtimes. And like I said, now that we're in the finals, shop around with, you know, your different books. You should always do that anyway, but certainly, you know, even when you're looking offshore or looking at the domestic books, shop around and look for some little, you know, interesting kind of props and tidbits and things that'll pop up now that you won't see during the regular season or even the first three rounds of the playoffs. I was able to grab, will a game go to double overtime or more? Just one game in any part of this series, yes, plus 700. That's available at Bet Online. So you can get really creative and find different things, and whatever narrative you like or feel is going to happen in the Stanley Cup final, you can find a way to bet that accordingly. So that's what makes this such an exciting time.
You can find 350 right now on game one to go to a draw. And let's just say this series goes six games.
Yeah.
If we get two overtime games, that's 350, call it 3.25. That's 6.75 units. If the other four games don't go to overtime, we're still up almost three. And God forbid this goes to overtime three times. We're talking about 350, 3.25, maybe $3. There's a lot of possibilities there, because if three games go to overtime, you can stack those $3 bets at 3-1 or higher and be good.
Yeah, and the two key factors when betting into overtimes, especially in the playoffs, but even in the regular season, I've noticed this trend. You have to go with the three-way line or the regulation line and bet the draw. The reason I always specify this is because you will see in that prop market, will a game go to overtime and it'll be a yes-no prop. That yes will probably be plus 300 plus 305, the draw will be anywhere from plus 320 to, like you said, as high as 350. So the books will shortchange you if you go with that yes or no prop. Always make sure to bet with the draw on the three-way line. It's the exact same bet, and you're going to get at least 30 cents, if not as high as 50 cents more value.
Bobrovsky favored pretty much everywhere to win the Conn Smythe. Then it's Tkachuk. Yet, Alex, Vegas is favored to win the series. Jack Eichel, yeah. 4-5-1. Marchessault, 7-8-1. Carlson, 7-8-1. Mark Stone, you could find 10-1. Vegas, I think, is the better team with the seventh game at home, yet the two Panther stars are the two favorites to win the Conn Smythe.
And that's interesting, and I'm sure it's got a lot to do with a couple of factors. For one, I remember seeing somebody on Twitter posting a ticket, having putting $100 down on Tkachuk to win the Conn Smythe at plus 12,500 before Game 7 against Boston. So any books that were dealing that number and took even the smallest of shots with that might be looking at a little bit of some liability there potentially. So that could be the reason for that. Also, with Sergei Bobrovsky, necessarily the fact that he's been hot as a goaltender, and I mentioned this on my podcast, The Ice Guys, before. I've mentioned this in previous years. I think even on this program, sometimes looking at a goalie of the team that may or may not win isn't a bad look, because you've seen in history, as it happened since 2003, and it's only happened, I think, maybe five or six times in Conn Smythe Trophy history, where the losing team goalie wins the award despite not winning the cup. And Bobrovsky has had such a great run. This is, think about his story. Heading into this year, everybody's slamming his contract, making $10 million, not playing nearly up to his potential. Started the postseason being benched by a journeyman and Alex Lyon, who had the starts and late in the season and in the first round. And then all of a sudden had to save this team from down 3-1 against the mighty Boston Bruins. And then had just been hot ever since. Like I said, beating Toronto, beating Carolina, and now getting to this point. Even if they were to fall in six or seven games, if Bobrovsky could still have a quality effort, give some quality starts, he's just as live as anybody on that Vegas team if they win the series to also go home with that playoff MVP trophy.
Was that Jaguar in 03?
That was, yep.
Yeah, with the Ducks. They made that miracle run, and they didn't win the Stanley Cup, but he won the Conn Smythe.
Right, lost to New Jersey.
Now you got me thinking, why would I bet Florida at plus 110 when I could just bet Bobrovsky at plus 220?
Yeah. Absolutely, and then you still might have a chance to cash that even if Florida doesn't win. So that's actually the smarter option if you even like Florida in any kind of way. That's the smarter option.
You made us a lot of money last few Stanley Cup Finals with the first period plays, and I actually heard, I think I was listening to Mitch and Paul the other day, and they were discussing the first period overs. Mm-hmm. Vegas Golden Knights, five straight first period overs. Is that something we can bank on for this round, or is that a new series and a new thing?
I would look to continue to roll that, but what I was doing with this last series with Dallas and Vegas was betting that in-game. So rather than laying 110, 115, and we've been getting these shorter prices because you've been seeing a lot of games go under, especially with Florida. But I think we'll be able to grab some of these first period overs, but we can wait in-game and let that minus $1.10 turn it to a plus 120, 3 or 4 minutes into the first period, and then hammer that accordingly. I think Vegas will be able to kind of continue that momentum of scoring early, and it's something to look for, especially in game one, because you got to understand Florida will be coming into this with 10 days off. Vegas, just having a few days off, so the rest versus rust factor might be something where Vegas, the key for them would be to try to jump out early and try to catch this Florida team napping a little bit. So it's definitely something to look at, but I think you'll have time in these games to bet it live at a better price than trying to do a pregame.
Who's going to win the whole thing?
It's going to be Vegas. It's going to be Vegas. I think Vegas in six games, but like I said, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be a lot of OTs. I think we're going to see at least one long OT for sure, and it's going to be grueling. And these two teams have already been worn down, but it's going to be a fight to the finish, and I think Vegas ends up winning Lord Stanley's Cup.
We have to take you out with this. How did the Boston Bruins lose in the first round?
Well, their coach decided to play a goaltender who was injured. And, you know, you just can't really do that. And I understand the warrior mentality in this league and certainly in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you have to understand if you are so banged up, you're not helping your team. You're essentially hurting it. And that's the reason we're not talking about Boston right now being in the Stanley Cup final.
I saw this tweet from John Hollinger the other day, and it speaks volumes. I don't know if you peeped this. Boston became the first city to lose a home game 7 to an 8 seed in both hockey and basketball in the same season.
Wow. That's rough. That's
what
a
else
rough
do you
one
say there. Besides wow?
Yeah. I mean, you know, at different scenarios for sure. But, you know, it just shows you that, you know, we talk about this all the time, every postseason, especially in the NHL, but even in the NBA, once you get into the tournament, anything can happen.
Amen to that, brother. Well, we appreciate your time per usual. You can follow Alex on Twitter at AXSmithSports. Ice Guys, The Hammer, Edgework, Onset Hammer, and AXSmithSports.com. Always appreciate you. You know that. And keep up the good work. We'll be looking at these overtimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Alex Smith for hopping on the program. Hell of a ticket on the Miami Heat. Alex was a part of that as well at, well, I bet 950. The show got 9-1. So we roll that forward and hopefully can make some more magic here with the Florida Gators in the College World Series. That number is +950 right now at FanDuel, and I think that that is worth a pop. Coming up on the show next week, we're going to talk some baseball with Ariel Epstein from the MLB Network and PointsBet. Cash your tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next time right here on Chicken Dinner.